Well, that was amazing. Let's hear another round of applause for them and for our Lord. Boy, does that touch me to see my wife, my daughter, and all these girls there. Boy, I've almost forgotten what I need to say today, except that it's almost the same thing as we're talking about the promise of a son. We've been doing a sermon series today, the last few weeks, on the Old Testament prophecies of our Lord Jesus Christ, which were filled by Jesus of Nazareth in every way. So grace, the grace of our Lord be with you today from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So over the last 2 weeks, sermons so far, and looking at the Old Testament prophecies of Christ, already we've seen that Mary's babe was the one who was descended from David according to the line and the tribe of Judah as prophesied in the Old Testament. We also see that it was prophesied by Micah in 800 B.C., that he would be born in Bethlehem, and that he would ride into Jerusalem on a donkey, according to Zechariah, and that also he would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver at the hands of a friend of his, Judas, who turned against him. We also saw that he was to come to open the eyes of the blind man, Isaiah chapter 42, and that God would establish his throne forever and ever and ever, according to 1 Chronicles chapter 17. And so these and many more prophecies, and we've only talked about so far Jesus, the ones that speak of him as light of the world and as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And already God has fulfilled all these things. And as Jesus says in John chapter 13, verse 19, he prophesied that Judas would betray him with a kiss. And he told his disciples these words in John chapter 13, verse 19. He says, "I tell you this now before it takes place, that when it does take place, you may believe that I am he." I tell you this now before it takes place, that when it does take place, you may believe that I am He. Jesus said this in the New Testament, and this is God's pattern throughout the Old Testament too, isn't it? He tells us things before time so that when they do take place, we may know that He is the one, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. For nobody can predict hundreds of years ahead of time who is going to do, where He's going to be born, what He's going to do, unless God Himself is behind it all, orchestrating it, bringing it to pass. And as it says in Isaiah, God knows the end from the beginning and declares in former times the things that are to come. So today, let's take a look at the next theme of prophecies, which really go along with that beautiful liturgical dance from the youth group, Mary, Did You Know? We're going to talk about Jesus and the promise of a son, and especially the Son of God. Now, when Paul was going through the ancient world this way and that, to Greece and to Rome and to Jerusalem and all these places, he would argue with the Jews in the various synagogues, preaching to them from the Scriptures. Did he have the New Testament? No, he was preaching them from the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, which was the only Bible they had. The New Testament hadn't been written yet. He preached to them that Jesus was the Christ, the Son, the promised Son, promised in the Old Testament, and even the Son of God. And I want to give you this challenge right now. Could you do that? If you went into a Jewish synagogue today and they said, "Here, we have a guest speaker time. Come on ahead and show us in our own scriptures, in our Hebrew scriptures, in the Old Testament, that God would promise us a son, and even that He'd be the Son of God." Can you do that? Or they might not say it that way. They might say, "Oy vey, oy, can you show us? I don't know." But check this out. God, I will go with you today through the Old Testament and show how God promised you a son so that you can see when He tells it ahead of time, then when it comes to pass, you may believe that He is the one, that Jesus is the Son of God. So where can we begin? Let's begin where we began the last several weeks in Genesis chapter 3, because this is a crucial place. In the Garden of Eden, it sets up the entire Bible that God does in Genesis chapter 3. When the serpent comes in and deceives the woman, and then the man follows, Adam follows along, God gives this judgment in speaking against the serpent. Genesis 3:15, He says, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." In other words, here we have the promise of the seed of a woman. Now let me ask you a question. You ever just reading through the Old Testament, and you get to all these long genealogies of this person begat this person, begat this person, as the father of so-and-so, the father of so-and-so, and you're going, what on earth is that about? I mean, people with names like Methuselah and Mahalalel, I mean, we don't know people like that today. You going to invite people like that over to dinner? What difference do they make? All these long genealogies, what's going on? Well, I'll tell you, you are not going to get it. You are not going to understand these genealogies. They're going to be boring to you until you get Genesis 3:15, which says at the very beginning, here's the promise. "I will put enmity or strife between you, O serpent, and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring." And then it goes to the singular. In the last part of the verse, it says, "He," a singular, "a certain descendant will crush your head, but you will strike his heel, wound his heel." And so what I'd like to do then is to follow with you this seed of the woman, which is promised there, that would crush the head of the serpent. For from the woman, from Eve, right here at the very beginning, the seed of the woman, there is going to come, actually, the offspring of the righteous, and then also the offspring of the devil. He's going to have people who will be murderers and thieves in this world. There is a righteous line and the wicked line. Not that the righteous are sinless, okay? But that they call on the name of the Lord. Eve had Abel and Cain. Cain slew Abel. But then, next was Seth. We're following her line here from start to finish. And in Genesis 4, chapter 26, Genesis 4, verse 26, It says, "And Adam knew his wife Eve again, and she bore a son, and called his name Seth. For she said, 'God has appointed for me another child instead of Abel, for Cain slew him.' To Seth also a son was born, and he called his name Enosh. And at that time, men began to call upon the name of the Lord." You see, this is a righteous line. Not that they were sinless, but they called on the name of the Lord for forgiveness, for his mercy, trusting in him and trusting in this promise of the seed of the woman. Seed of the woman. Goes down to Seth. And then you follow all this other genealogy. You got Methuselah, Mahalalel, all these crazy names in there. But then not long later, you get to Noah. And in Genesis chapter 6, God confirms again, "I'm going to make a covenant with you and with your offspring. With your offspring, I will make a covenant." Go down to here, you have Noah's son, Shem. Then you get down eventually, well, this is shortened up here, to Abraham. That's in Genesis chapter 12. Listen to this promise. "The Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I'll make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so you'll be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and him who curses you I will curse. And by you shall all the families of the earth be blessed.'" All the families of the earth are going to be blessed through this one. And how? Let's take a look at verse 7. "Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, 'To your descendant, to your offspring, to your son, I will give this land, the promised land.'" What is that talking about? Who's the promised son of Isaac? You might say, you know the stories. Come on. Who was the son of Abraham? Let me make a little slip of the tongue. Who was the son of Isaac? Abraham? It was Isaac, right? You'd think this might be the promised son. And he was the promised son. But then guess what? We look at Galatians chapter 3. In the New Testament, Paul is interpreting this for us. And he says, "Now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring." It does not say offsprings, referring to many, but referring to one, "and to your offspring, which is," to say Isaac? No, it says your offspring, which is Christ. There is a promise that Abraham's offspring, his eventual descendant, not Isaac, but eventually the Christ is going to come from you. "To him I will give the promised land," which is ultimately the whole heavens and the earth, or the earth, that is. So Isaac has Jacob, and then you have also the promise to Judah. We looked at last week, Genesis 49, it says, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he comes to whom it belongs, and to him will be the obedience of the peoples." Until he comes to whom it belongs. Who comes? Judah's offspring. Is this Eve to Seth to Noah to Abraham to Isaac to Jacob to Judah? God is saying in all these things, there is a promised offspring coming through this line. And that's why you don't have everybody's genealogy in the Bible. You have this offspring, this line being followed all the way down through the Bible. After this, you eventually get from Judah. Sorry, I'm running on a sideways till here. It's just me. You get to Jesse. Jesse is the grandson of Ruth and of Ruth and Obed, the daughter of Naomi, as my daughter was named. Look at what it says of Jesse's offspring in Isaiah chapter 11. "There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the girdle of his waist, and faithfulness the girdle of his loins." Sounds like a pretty impressive person that's going to come from the stump of Jesse. But you see here, this puts the whole Old Testament into perspective. You hear these prophecies. Who on earth is Jesse? You've got to understand Genesis 3:15. The seed of the woman, the seed of the woman, the seed of the woman, seed of the woman, all the way down through the seed of the woman And who was Jesse's son? Jesse's son was David. And then you hear in Jesse, in David's day, in 1 Chronicles chapter 17, God says to him in verse 11, "When your days, David, are fulfilled to go to be with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, one of your own sons, and I will establish this kingdom. He shall build a house for me, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son." This is God speaking to David, saying, from you, one of your own offsprings, I'm going to call that one my son. And then eventually, down in the beginning of the New Testament, you see that Joseph and Mary went to Nazareth, went to Bethlehem, the city of David, because they were of the house and the lineage of David, and they bore there, or Mary did, in her virgin womb, Jesus. Now, let me read to you from Galatians chapter 4 about this. Galatians 4:4, Paul is talking about our salvation. And here's what he says. That once we were slaves, once we were children, but now, he says, when the time had fully come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. What do you think he says when the time had fully come, God sent forth his son, born of woman? Why would he put that in there? Obviously, he's going to be born of a woman, right? I mean, who isn't born of a woman? Born of a woman, he's referring to the promise. Here is the seed. Jesus Christ, when the time had fully come, God sent forth his son born of woman. The seed of the woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. That's why Jesus Christ came, to crush the head of the serpent. 1 John chapter 3 says, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. And that's what he did. Crushed him under his feet. But at the same time, when he crushed him on the cross, what happened? He was bruised in his heel. According to the promise of Genesis 3:15, and in fact, even literally, for there was a spike in both hands and a spike in his heel. Amazing, huh? Look at that. So Jesus is the promised seed of the woman. But now you might say in a Jewish synagogue, all right, well, we can acknowledge that there's a promised son, but you Christians say he's the son of God. What's that about? That God would give has a son? Can you show that to us from the Hebrew Scriptures? Well, can you? Anybody want to come up and finish the sermon? Can you show to me that the promised son, the offspring of the woman, is actually not just a human, but he is a human, but the Son of God, God's own Son? Well, let's take a look at a few places in the Hebrew, in the Old Testament Scriptures that speak of this. Actually, in Genesis 3:15, it says the seed of the woman, doesn't mention Adam there, maybe an allusion to a virgin birth, maybe mysterious. They'd say, no, that's too vague for us. All right, I'll go somewhere where it's not vague. Isaiah chapter 7, God says, and the Lord said to Ahaz, ask a sign of the Lord. Let it be deep as Sheol, high as heaven. But Ahaz said, I will not ask. I'll not put the Lord to the test. And he said, hear then, O house of David. Is it too little a thing that you weary men, but that you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord your God will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So a virgin shall bear a son. If there's a virgin bearing a son, who's the father? There is no earthly father. There is a heavenly father. That's why it says in Luke chapter 1, the angel appeared to Mary and said, do not fear, Mary, for that which is conceived in you is of the... you shall conceive and bear in your womb a son. You shall call his name Jesus. And he will be the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and his kingdom shall be forever. She says, how can this be? I have no husband. He says, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. Therefore, the child will be called holy, the Son of God. So we have God being the Father. Mary is a virgin. The Holy Spirit overshadows her womb and puts Jesus in there without the help of a man. So, O Jewish people, in your own scriptures, there you have it. A virgin shall conceive. But also, you could just go another verse later. In fact, I just know this one off the top of my head. Isaiah 9, for unto us a child is given. Unto us a child is given, unto us. I know it off the top of my head. Hang on a second. Isaiah chapter 9, I'm sorry. Isaiah chapter 9 says this. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called. What kind of son is God going to give? What's the name of the son? And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You know, the child's name is going to be Mighty God. Does that sound pretty bold? El Gabor in the Hebrew, if you will, means God the Great. His name will be God himself. Emmanuel means God with us. So you can be sure today, Jesus says, I tell you this now before it takes place, that when it takes place, you may believe. In other words, if God gives the Son, he has shown here in the Old Testament so far that this Son is God. You could also look at Psalm 45. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Speaking to the Son, the anointed Messiah. Thy throne, O God. You also have the New Testament. The demons cry out, you are the Son of God. Because they recognized him. They lived in heaven before. They knew the Prince of Peace. And John the Baptist bears witness that he is the Son of God. Jesus bears witness that he's the Son of God. The apostles bear witness that he is God's actual Son here in the flesh with us. And in in Proverbs 30 it says, who has ascended to heaven and come down? Who has gathered the wind in his fists? Who has wrapped up the waters in a garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name? Isn't that beautiful? Proverbs 30 speaks of God's Son. In Psalm 2, it says, why do the kings of the earth set themselves in array and counsel against the Lord and his anointed? And then it says, I've set my king on Mount Zion, and the Lord said to me, thou art my son, today I have begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall make the nations thy heritage, and the ends of the earth thy possession. Psalm chapter 2, quoted by the apostles in referring to Jesus Christ. So, if you believe that the seed of the woman is Jesus Christ, and that this Son is the Son of God, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Shirley. I appreciate that. Because God has shown us ahead of time what would happen and who this person would be. And that's what we're celebrating this Christmas. That the Lord of the earth, look at this hand. This hand was made by somebody. I didn't make it. My parents had a little something to do with it, but not a whole lot. But guess what? God made me. God made this world. The Creator has come down, sent His Son to be my Savior, to rescue me from my sins. And you might say, where does all this really match with my life? Where's the electricity? Where's the circuit where this message will get into my life? Well, let me share with you the story I think will help to make it clear for you. The story of Les Chenoweth, which I heard last week. Les was in the Coast Guard. And his father was a very high-up officer in the Coast Guard, responsible for hiring and firing everybody in the 5th District of the U.S. Coast Guard. Well, Les, after high school, went into the service, and when he was but a lowly seaman second class, as often happens, he was picked on and harassed by the senior people around him, which was basically everybody. And it got so bad that one day the cook, first class petty officer, stood up on the galley table and said, you guys better stop what you're doing to this seaman second class over here. Do you know who he is? I said, no, this is just an ordinary Joe. It's Les. We're picking on him. I say, yeah, but you know who his father is? He is the chief officer in charge of hiring and firing in the 5th District, which is you guys. So if you don't want to be living on Goonie Bird Island, you better start treating him right because he's the son. And Les told me when he said this, he says, I didn't have no more problem after that. because they realized he was the Son. In other words, my point here, people, is that how you treat the Son of God is how God's going to treat you. If you treat him well, God treats you well. If you despise and don't believe in him, God will not treat you well. And this is spoken of in John chapter 5. Jesus says, everyone who honors the Son honors the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father. And so you got people out there in the world say, I know God. Oh, he and me are mates. We're really close. But they don't believe in Jesus. You know that they're lying, even though they might think they're telling the truth. They don't. You cannot know God, the Father, and be right with him unless you're right with his Son, Jesus Christ. That's spoken over and over in the Scriptures. The God, Father has given all judgment to the Son, that all that may honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. And as it says at the end of Psalm 2, and watch this, which speaks of today, this is my, today, let's see. I will tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my Son, today I have begotten thee. And then it says, now therefore, O kings of the earth, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear. With trembling, kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. In other words, a lot of people today are out against the Son. They don't believe in him. They say, where does it say in the Bible? You can show them now. But even then, they'll say, I don't believe it. God cannot have a Son. And they hold their hands, and yet they say, God is with us. Well, you can be sure that they are wrong. And God is giving a stern warning here, saying, kings of the earth, bow your knee. Humble yourselves before the Son. Kiss him, lest he be angry and you perish in the way. For his wrath is quickly kindled. Now, that may sound to be a pretty terrifying thing, but this Jesus is a holy fire. At the same time, though, he didn't come for judgment to destroy. He didn't come to slay the wicked. He came, rather, that the world might be saved. He came sharing the Father's heart in love for you. And that's why it says this in 1 John chapter 5, or 4, it says, and this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. Jesus bore your sins on the cross. That's how much he loves you. God sent his Son, even willing to let his Son be crucified. Would you let your children die? Think of how that would tear your heart out. And yet God loves you that much that he desired and allowed and ordained his perfect Son to be sacrificed that you might live through faith in him. Therefore, it says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus Christ, Jesus is the Son of God. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who has not the Son of God has not life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him might not perish but have eternal life. Yes, indeed, God says, I tell you this now, before it takes place, that when it does take place, you may believe that I am he. Believe then today. Jesus is the Son of God, your King, your light, your friend, your brother, your Savior, your Son of God, Jesus of Nazareth. Amen.